Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's Word today, we'll be looking, Lord willing, this morning from the book of Luke. We'll be looking at Luke chapter 1. We'll be looking at a number of different passages of Scripture, primarily from the book of Luke. And I encourage you very strongly to look in your Bibles as we study from the book of Luke. Before we begin to try to read and study from God's holy Word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to call upon thy great and holy name. Lord, we thank you for sending thine only begotten Son into the earth. We're thankful that Jesus came and he accomplished what he came to do, that he saved his people from their sins. We're thankful that he lives today. He rules and reigns as King of kings and Lord of lords, that he's the king of his kingdom, and that right now that Jesus is here with us. And we're thankful that we have been taught in thy word that where two or three are gathered together in thy name, that you would be in our midst. And we're thankful that we can feel thy presence with us this morning. And we pray that as we've come together to worship thee, that you would help us, that you would lift us up and plant our feet on heaven's table land, that we would hear and understand the message that you have for us from your holy word. Lord, I thank you for teaching us and instructing us. I'm thankful that as long as we live in this world, that every week that we read and study the Word of God, that you teach us more things. We're thankful that we will never exhaust the depth of thy holy word. And we pray that this morning, as we've come together, that we would hear and understand the Word of God, that you would teach us, and that your word would be as seed sown in fertile ground, that it would bring forth fruit to perfection in each of our lives. We thank you again for every person that's here. Thank you, Lord, from the bottom of our heart for every person that's come to be with us this day. We pray that you would bless each individual and each family. We thank you for them and pray that you would bless their lives and all the others that are on our prayer list. We pray that you would bless each of them in a very special way. Comfort those who have lost loved ones. Give them a special measure of thy grace. Bless those who are sick and afflicted. We know that you're the great physician. Doesn't matter what medical doctors have said, we pray that you would touch and heal and lift up. We've seen you perform miracles in the past. We know that we can read about miracles in the Word of God, but we have seen your power, and we thank you for blessing us to see the power of God in our lives today. Bless all those that stand in special need today. You know the needs and burdens of every person that's here. Bless each one, not according to what we deserve, but according to thy mercy and thy grace. We thank you, Lord, for the rain that you've sent upon the earth during this past week. Pray that you would continue to send more rain. Pray, Lord, that you would bless the young people tonight in the evening worship service, that you would bless them in all that they do, that it would be done to thy name's honor and glory, that you bless them to sing in the Spirit and sing with understanding. We thank you for those three young men that recited the Christmas story to us this morning. Thank you for the Word of God that's been being planted in their hearts. Thank you for the way that they live, your name's honor and glory. We thank you for all the children, all the parents here that are trying to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Help us, Lord, to remember and to know that teaching our children the Word of God and the ways of God is more important than other things that we're often spending time teaching them. Help us to excel in spiritual things, not just in the natural things of this world. Bless us now and help us to feel your presence with us. Bless us to all be able to say that it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There is a, as we read from the Word of God, we find that there is a common theme, and I haven't really ever noticed this, that I remember. Some things that I've said I don't ever remember seeing before. You might have said, well, you preached on that about 20 years ago. Well, I forget sometimes. I don't remember sometimes things that I've seen. But I've seen some things this week in the study of God's Word surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ. I have seen a common theme as I have just been reading the Word of God. I've found that in every single scene surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ, that there is a common thread and a theme. No matter where you look at, and I pray that God will help us this morning just to touch on several of those things, but there's one theme that's found in all of these different scenes. There's one statement that's made in every different scene that you look at surrounding the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's just in two words, and the two words that you'll find that we'll be looking at this morning that are found in every scene surrounding the birth of Christ is... Does anybody know what the two words are? Two words that are found in every one of these different scenes are, and they're really unusual, and you might say, well, this isn't a Christmas message. It's a message from God. I want all of you to know that this is something that God has put very strongly in my heart, and I believe He's opened up to me, and I don't understand all the reasons, but the two words that are in every single scene, the two words that we look at and hear over and over are fear not. Fear not. Now, who was the forerunner of Jesus Christ? Who was it that prepared the way of the Lord? Who was that?
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist. And when John the Baptist was, before he was ever conceived in his mother's womb, his birth was a miracle. It was a different kind of miracle. But the birth of John the Baptist was a miracle from God because his mama and daddy, Zacharias and Elizabeth, they were very old in age. They were like Abraham and Sarah. They were past the age of bringing forth a child. Zacharias and Elizabeth were in the house of God, and they were praying. And as they were there in the house of God, even as old people praying in the house of God, they were still praying for God to give them a child. And I want you to notice this now in Luke chapter 1. I want to read just two or three verses here, where the Word of God says, Luke chapter 1, beginning verse 11, "And there appeared unto him," that is to Zacharias, "an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him." But listen to what the angel said. This is what happens repeatedly. Verse 13 says, "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." So what did the angel say to Zacharias? What are the two words?
Fear not.
Fear not. Don't be afraid. And let me just go ahead and say this right now in the very beginning of the study this morning, that you might say, well, what does that have to do with the birth of baby Jesus? I want all of you to understand, but I think that sometimes we concentrate on baby Jesus. And though I'm thankful for the birth of Jesus Christ, I want everybody here to understand we're not worshiping baby Jesus. Does everybody understand that? I think there are a lot of people today that are still and spend their whole lifetime, they either worship baby Jesus, or they worship a little boy named Jesus, or they worship a man named Jesus, but they don't see who Jesus really is, and that is that He is, as we sang, He is the risen Savior that is right now ruling and reigning in this earth. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And I think that even while we are celebrating the birth of Christ, that our minds ought to look at not just His birth, but His whole life. And you shouldn't just concentrate on the birth, but you should think about it's because of His birth that we have all these other things, and right now Jesus is the King of kings. I don't want you to ever get in your mind little baby Jesus. I think there are a lot of people that like little baby Jesus. Everybody understand the point I'm trying to get across? I think there are a lot of people that like to think about little baby Jesus, and that's all they like to think about, but they don't like to think about Jesus as who He is today. And the reason that we worship His birth and celebrate His birth is not just because He's a little baby, but it's because of who He is today. Look now at Luke chapter 1. Look at the angel came to Zacharias and said, "Fear not, Zacharias." Now come down to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke 1, verse 26. The angel comes to Mary, the mother of Jesus, and I want you to listen to what the Scripture says here in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin," let me tell you something, brethren, Mary was a virgin in every way. The idea that Mary was just a young child. There are many so-called Bibles today that say that she was just a young woman. She was not just a young woman. She was a virgin. And had she not been a virgin, the birth of Jesus Christ would have been of no more value than the birth of any other man. She had to be a virgin, and that was born of her was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Don't ever doubt the Immaculate Conception that God came upon Mary while she was a virgin, and she conceived, and that was in her was of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So the Word of God says here in verse 27 that the angel came to Mary, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now listen to verse 28. And the angel came in to her and said, "Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Listen, brethren, if you and I had heard that angel say to us what he said to Mary, we would have been also troubled at his saying. Mary was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Now listen to verse 30. And the angel said unto her, what?
Fear not.
And I think it's significant now that you remember that in Luke chapter 1, verse 13, is it just two words there? Is it just two words? Fear not what? Fear not Zacharias. And now the Word of God says, fear not Mary. Why do you think that I want to also emphasize not just that they said that the angel said, fear not, but I believe, brethren, that God knows every one of you by name. He knows who you are. He knows more about you and He knows more about me than we know about ourselves. So the angel knew that Mary was afraid. And I want you to just think about as we face this coming year and however much longer you have on this earth, I want us to be thinking about every day, we ought not to be afraid. And we ought not to be afraid because God knows you and God cares about you, and whatever you're facing in your life and whatever your problems are and whatever we face as a nation, we have no reason to fear. Why don't we have any reason to fear? Why didn't Zacharias have a reason to fear? Why didn't Mary have a reason to fear? It's because God was what? With them. God was with them. Who is Jesus? His name is called Emmanuel, which by interpretation means God with us. God is still with us today. God was with Zacharias and said, fear not, Zacharias. God was with Mary, and God said to Mary, fear not, Mary. You remember the angel came to Joseph also. Do you remember what the angel said to Joseph? The angel said, fear not, Joseph, to take unto thee Mary to be thy wife. Why? Why was he saying that? Listen, brethren, God knows more about humankind, mankind, than we know about ourselves. There's more fear in this building than any of us realize. Did you know that? Some of us are afraid and we don't even know that we're afraid. Some of us are afraid and we're not sure what we're afraid of. But there is fear in many of God's children's lives. And I believe that as we look at some of these passages surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ, and as we hear God saying to every one of these people, He says, fear not Zacharias, fear not Mary, fear not Joseph, and then He comes to the shepherds. Do you remember that in Luke chapter 2? Turn to Luke chapter 2 and look at Luke chapter 2 verse 8. This is part of what the boys just recited to us from the first 20 verses of Luke chapter 2. I want you to notice that the angel appeared to the shepherds. In Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, the Word of God says, And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. They were very, very much afraid. They were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, what's the first thing the angel said to Mary? What was the first thing the angel said to Zacharias? What's the first thing he said to Joseph? And what's the first thing he says to these angels here? To these shepherds. The first thing he says is, fear not, don't be afraid. Sister Darcelle, are you afraid today? You're not afraid? Why aren't you afraid? Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Do you have a lot of money in the bank? You know, sometimes we're afraid, we worry because of things that we just don't trust God like we need to be trusting God. We're afraid because we're concerned about the economy, and we're concerned about the direction our nation is going, and we're concerned about who's going to be the next president and what's going to be the consequences of that. Listen, brethren, I'm concerned also. I'm telling you that we're not supposed to be afraid. And if I trust in God, and I believe that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, and He lived an absolutely perfect life, He died on the cross of Calvary to save me from my sins, and He's alive today. I think that's the reason I have no fear today. That's the reason we're supposed to have no fear today. It's not just because He was a little baby. Not just because He lived a perfect life. Not just because He died on the cross. It's because Jesus is alive and ruling and reigning today. That's the reason I asked Brother David that we sing. Was it because He lives? Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, brethren, we have no fear if we trust in Him and we think about we're celebrating the birth of Christ. But listen again, I'm trying to get you to understand we don't need to just think about His birth. You shouldn't separate His birth from everything else and think about He's alive today. One of the other songs says, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, you know what the second phrase is there? All fear is gone. It's because He lives. It's because He's alive. It's because He's real. And the angel said to Zacharias, fear not, Zacharias. And the angel said to Mary, fear not, Mary. And the angel said to Joseph, fear not, Joseph. And the angel said to the shepherds, fear not. And if you were to turn to Luke chapter 5, you'll find Jesus gathering His apostles together. And guess what the first thing He says to His apostles in Luke 5:10 is? He says to them, fear not. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Now you might say, well, this isn't a Christmas. Listen, brethren, this is a message from God. God's telling me and you, don't be afraid. Amen. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. In fact, I want you to turn right now, if you will, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. I want you to look at Luke chapter 12. I want somebody here first, while you're turning to Luke chapter 12, I want somebody here to tell me anything that you think that many of God's children are fearing today. Tell me anything you can think about that people of God are afraid of. Let me mention one. I don't think there's anybody here that's afraid of this, but let me tell you something. There are a lot of God's children. We've had people that have come to church here, children of God who've come to church here, that once they understood the truth of salvation by grace, they've said that the greatest blessing they have is they can lay down at night and go to bed without fearing going to hell. Did you know there are a lot of God's children today that are scared to death they're going to die and go to hell? Do you know why they're afraid? It's because they don't understand the truth of what Jesus accomplished at the cross of Calvary. If they know that Jesus did save His people from their sins, and they know that they're not saved today and lost tomorrow, if they believe in eternal security, if they believe what God says, that nothing can separate us from the love of God, what happens to that fear of eternal hell? Listen, brethren, all fear is gone of eternal hell. You know how much I'm afraid of dying and going to hell? I'm not afraid one iota of dying and going to hell. I have no fear of eternal hell. Do you know why? Is it because I'm good? Is it because I'm keeping the commandments of God? Listen, brethren, if my being in the eternal heaven was based on me being faithful to God, I would have no assurance of being there one day because I sin and come short of the glory of God. But because of my assurance of being in eternal heaven is based not on my work, but on the work that Jesus Christ did. And He accomplished what He came to do. Therefore, I have no fear of eternal hell. Amen. I have no fear of eternal hell. I do fear what Jesus will do to me while I'm here on this earth because of my disobedience. Because the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. And Jesus says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So I know that Jesus does chasten His people here.
Amen.
And I ought to fear God here. Let me tell you, in the midst of talking about fear not, do you know who it is that God keeps telling people, fear not? It's His people who are fearing things they ought not to be fearing. Everybody follow that? When you're afraid of things you ought not to be afraid of, God is saying to you, fear not. But what should we be? What should we be fearing?
Fear God.
Who should we be fearing? Fear God. The Scripture says in Ecclesiastes 12:13, the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. Those Scriptures, that truth is taught Old and New Testament repeatedly. Fear God. Fear God. And He's the only one you're to be afraid of. Don't you be afraid of men. Don't be afraid of the economy. Don't be afraid of death. Don't be afraid of sickness. Don't be afraid of anything. Did you know the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You think he was afraid? You think Paul was afraid when he wrote those words down? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You think he was afraid? I don't think there was 1 ounce of fear in him. Do you think David was afraid when he wrote the 23rd Psalm and he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will what? I will fear no evil. Why? Well, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Brethren, if you can just feel God's presence with you, if you know He's not just a little baby and He wasn't just a good man. There are a lot of people that believe that Jesus was born. A lot of people believe He was a good man. But that's all they believe, is He was a prophet of God or a great teacher or a good man. If that's all you believe about Jesus, you're going to be scared to death. But if you believe what Jesus is, that He was God in the flesh and He died on the cross and He rose again and He is alive today and He's reigning today, and that's who it is we're celebrating His birth. But we're not just thinking about baby Jesus. We're not just thinking about a little boy Jesus or a man Jesus. We're talking about Jesus. That's God. Jesus, amen, who is God.
Amen.
Manifest in the flesh. Jesus, who is right now, today, He's on His throne. Now, I'm concerned about our presidential election, but let me tell you, the future of this nation, you could elect somebody in this building, and I think most any man in this building has got, and women too, as far as that goes, more sense than and I would trust most any of you more than I would anybody running. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm telling you, you can't put your confidence in man. Don't put it in a political party. Don't put it in a man. Our confidence must be in God.
That's right.
And Him alone.
That's right.
We are in serious times. And the reason we're in such serious times is because the church is failing to uphold the standard of truth and righteousness. The main problem in America today has nothing to do with Washington, D.C. The main problem in America today is the church, the people of God, the churches of Jesus Christ are failing to uphold the standard of truth and righteousness. We're failing to be what we ought to be. It's not the president's fault. It's not Congress's fault. The problem in America is the church's fault. It's my fault and your fault for failing to be what we need to be. Do you know why we sometimes aren't what we ought to be? Tell me why we're sometimes not what we ought to be. Tell me sometimes why we don't stand up like we ought to stand up. We're feared. We're afraid. Feared is what I almost said. We're not feared. We're scared. We're not feared. Sometimes we're just afraid, aren't we? You know, I have a lot of love for every one of you, but there's one young brother in this congregation. He'll call me almost every day and he says, Brother Billy, I'm afraid. I've got to do something today, and I'm going to be in a situation, and I'm afraid, and I want you to pray for me. Now that's good, isn't it? He wants to pray. He wants me to pray with him that God will help him to stand up and be a Christian and not be ashamed to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And he calls me every day. He's in college, and I'll tell you, Brother Brooks, I love you with all my heart, and I appreciate Brooks Strickland. He called me at 1:30 this morning. It was with somebody trying to teach him the Word of God. He said, Brother Billy, listen, I need some help. And I just can't tell you, Brother Brooks. I'll tell you, that's a man of God that's trying to serve God. Do you sometimes get afraid when you're trying to do what's right? Do you sometimes get afraid? Yes, you all get afraid. Don't tell me you don't get afraid. You do get afraid. I think probably when God told Stephen to go and preach to those people, and he was standing there preaching to those people, and he said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, as your fathers did resist the Holy Ghost, so do ye." I think probably just before he started all that, I think he was scared to death. You know why I say that? Because just before I preach every time, I'm scared to death. But once the man starts to preach like Stephen was preaching there, all fear is gone. You know why all fear is gone? It's because little baby Jesus. No. Not little baby Jesus is with them. It's because Jesus, who is the King of Kings, the sovereign God of heaven and earth, it's His presence. I'm glad he started out as a little baby. But I'm telling you, he didn't stay a little baby long. He grew up. All of us know how quickly children grow up. Jesus grew up. He's grown. And he's grown beyond anything we can comprehend. Or describe how great Jesus is. Describe how strong Jesus is. You can't describe how big he is. You can't describe how strong he is. But you know what every one of us better be doing? We better be acknowledging, "Lord, I'm afraid without your help. I'm afraid without your presence. I need your help. I need your presence." That's what Brother Brooks does. I need God's help. I need God's help. Pray for me. Pray for me. You know, if more of us were doing some of the things that he's doing, you know what we'd be doing every day? You know what we'd be doing every day? You'd be calling some people. I'm fixing to walk into a situation that I'm scared about what I'm fixing to do. I'm fixing to walk by faith. I'm fixing to take a stand. I'm fixing to take a stand that may affect me and everybody around me, but I'm going to do what's right. I need your prayers. I need God's help. I need Jesus. Aren't you glad Jesus was born? Aren't you glad those angels said to Zacharias, "Fear not, Zacharias," and to Mary, "Fear not, Mary," and to Joseph, "Fear not, Joseph," and to those angels, "Fear not," and to all the other saints of God, he says, "Fear not, have no fear. I can face this coming year. I can face anything in my life, and you can face anything in your life, and you can be a good soldier. You and every one of us, we can be good soldiers of Jesus Christ if we will trust in Jesus. He's our help. He's our strength. He's our fortress." Can you do what Jesus is calling you to do? What do you think Jesus is calling you to do? What do you think Jesus is calling you to do during this coming year? You think you've got some big things to do this coming year? You think you've got, let me tell you, you do have, if you're a child of God, you've got some big things to do this coming year. You may run from it. You may not do it. You may not walk by faith. But I'll tell you, if you don't do what Jesus is telling you to do, you will suffer under the judgments of God. If you'll do what Jesus is telling you to do, you're going to be afraid when you start to do it. But as you go forward and walk by faith, you'll feel Jesus with you and you'll feel His strength, because the Word of God says that God has not given us the spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'll tell you, brethren, when you know what Jesus would have you to do, you set your course, you go forward, and it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks or says, you do what God would have you to do, and you'll feel His power, you'll feel His strength, you'll feel the presence of God with you. And there's nothing better, is there? It just doesn't get any better than feeling God with you. There are people on their deathbeds right now in this hour. There are people laying on their deathbeds that have no fear at all. Did you know that? People right now in this hour that are dying right now this minute, that some of them have no fear at all. They can say with the Apostle Paul, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" I'll tell you, brethren, when you know Jesus and you know who He is, not just who He was, but who He is, you know He's all powerful and He's going to take care of you. You know how much He loves you. How much does Jesus love you? You know, I had this thought during this past week. Sometimes I'm concerned about being chastened by Jesus. But I want you to think about this. I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but when you think about the one who's going to chasten you, is the one who died on the cross of Calvary for you. Now, I'm not minimizing His chastening. I just want you to know He loves you more than you can ever begin to comprehend. And when he does chasten you, it's always tempered with mercy and grace. Because he loves you. It's for our good. It's for your good. It's for my good. We go through trying times. We go through times when the branches are cut back and we have lean times in our lives. David said, it's good for me that I've been afflicted. You know why it's good for you to be afflicted? Whether it's physical problems, financial problems, whatever it is. You know why it's good? Because when you're afflicted, it brings you to your knees. It makes you realize you need God's help. And that's what we need to all feel, is how much we need his help. Luke 12, I want you to notice Luke 12. I want you to go home and read verses 4 through 7, but I want to come down to Luke 12, verse 32. The angel said to Zacharias, what? What did the angel say to Zacharias?
Fear not.
What did he say to Mary? Fear not. What did he say to Joseph?
Fear not.
What did he say to the shepherds?
Fear not.
What did he say to his apostles?
Fear not.
Now, that's one thing for him to say that to all those people, fear not. But I'll tell you, it's a wonderful thing in Luke 12, verse 32. When Jesus says in Luke 12, 32, fear not, little flock. You know who he's talking to right there? He's talking to me. He's talking to you. He's talking to all the lambs of God. He didn't just say it to those people back there. But he's saying it to me and you today. He's saying, fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock. Why? He says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. Brethren, to be able to feel the presence of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure. Do you ever find joy in giving your children something because they've really been trying to do what's right? You find joy in doing something for them when they do what's right? My Father in heaven finds good pleasure. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of heaven. Are there things you have to do to enter the kingdom of heaven while you live here on this earth? Absolutely. Are there times he's going to call you to do things that you're going to be afraid to do what he's telling you to do? And whenever he tells you to do it, you better go forward and do it without fear. You know what Gideon told to his army of 32,000 soldiers? You know what he told to his army? He said, everybody that's afraid, go home. Go home. You know why? Because the army of God doesn't need people that are going to run scared. He said, go home! And 22 out of 32,000 went home. And then it finally boiled down to just 300 soldiers. Now I'll tell you, brethren, 300 soldiers under the blessings and power of God. Those 300 men went out and they saw the power of God manifest. And they beat those Midianites. God brought those Midianites to their knees with just 300 soldiers. And those 300 soldiers had no fear. No fear at all. Don't you be afraid this coming year. And if you see me getting afraid, you know what I want you to do? Thank you. I want you to pray. That's right. I want you to pray. What else do I want you to do besides pray for me? When you see me afraid, what do I want you to do?
Remind you of the Scripture.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You remind me. You say, Brother Billy, don't you remember? Don't you remember what you preached Christmas Day? Don't you remember what you preached? You know what you taught us? That we're not to look at the little baby Jesus? I tell you, brethren, if the only Jesus you know about is a little weak Jesus that can't do anything unless you let him, all you know about is baby Jesus. If the only Jesus you know anything about is a Jesus that wants to do something, if you'll just let him, all you know about is baby Jesus. And I don't want you to think about or know about that false Jesus. I want you to believe in the real Jesus because he's sovereign and all-powerful and all-wise. And my Jesus, my Lord, my King, can help you and can help me through everything we face this coming year. He can help you through what you're going through right now. Go with me in closing to Hebrews 13. I'll just read one verse of Scripture. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6, the Word of God says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is, listen carefully, just Listen, I'll give you all the scriptures later if you want them. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. May God help us to not be afraid of anything or anybody. Don't be afraid of going hungry. Don't be afraid of ever lacking. Why? Because my God shall supply your every need. May God help us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.